Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council Studio. And of course, spring has sprung. It feels like it. We're trying to get some sunshine out here, but we've been blessed with good weather, and that is a definite blessing. But when it comes to grain in the bin, sometimes that's a curse. So let's figure out what's the proper thing to do here for grain drying and storage. North Dakota State University Extension Ag Engineer, grain drying expert, Ken Hellevang. How's everything in the Hellevang world, Ken?
Well, we're adjusting to this new work environment, but so far it's going okay.
Good deal. All righty. Well, let's talk a little bit about the issue of grain drying and as the temperature is warm, we've got to keep an eye on the grain in the bin, don't we?
Absolutely correct. As we look at the forecast coming up here, we're going to be making a quick shift to much warmer temperatures, and that means that we need to verify that our grain is going to be okay. We can store grain over winter and keep it cold and handle higher moisture contents, but as we go into warmer temperatures, that grain needs to be at a safe summer storage moisture content. So if we're talking corn, we need to be thinking closer to 14% or even a little below, rather than the 17-18% that may have got us through the winter. And not only do we have the outdoor temperatures warming up, but we've got a lot of solar heat again on these bins, so things can start happening fairly quickly.
And we haven't had much of that the last few days, not much sun, but I would assume as the sun comes out here, and that's going to be a real critical issue, especially on the south side, especially for the grain that maybe has been in the bin all winter at a little higher moisture content.
Right. When we start looking at allowable storage times, as long as we can keep it cold, things store pretty well. But I kind of use a rule of thumb that for every 10 degrees that we increase the temperature, we're cutting the allowable storage time in half. So as we shift from averaging maybe 25, 30 degrees up to 40 or 50 degrees, that's going to cause deterioration very quickly. So it's the time is now to either make sure that the grain is dry or to get it out of the bin and dry it in some manner. Now, we do a lot of natural air drying in this area, and as long as we have adequate airflow and the moisture contents are within that safe range, we'll do okay. But in particular, I had a lot of calls last fall on soybeans that exceeded roughly that 15%, 16% threshold that's we can hope to air dry, and so those beans really would need to come out of the bin and run through a high temperature dryer to safely store.
You have in the past recommended the periodically running fans to keep the grain temperature near or below 30 degrees until the grain is dried if it's above that storage moisture content. What nighttime air temperatures are probably not going to be below 30 too often here as we get into April. What's the solution to that problem?
Even if we can get it cooled down to 30 degrees by running the fans at night, that's a big improvement until we get the grain dry. And so I encourage people to, if we need to run fans to dry the grain, really kind of 40 degrees is the number that I typically will say when we get to that 40 degree point, there's enough moisture holding capacity in the air that we can air dry. Until we get to an average temperature of 40, then we really are better off keeping it cold. And that may be by running the fans at night and having them off in the daytime. So, if we're going to air dry, all the on and off, we get a day that's warm and then the next couple of days are cool. I tell guys, just wait until we're seeing the average temperature getting up to that 40 degrees.
Now, storing soybeans maybe not quite as finicky as storing, say, potatoes or even sugar beets, but soybean oil, which is a very valuable part of soybean, what happens to that over the winter if the storage conditions aren't kept perfectly?
Yeah, if we're keeping it cold, everything just waits until we get into the spring and summer temperatures. But even with relatively dry grain, let's say 12% moisture on soybeans, if we're not keeping it cool as we go into the spring and summer, that quality on the oil starts disappearing. And so even if we have dry soybeans down in that 11-12% moisture range, it becomes very critical that we control the temperature and try to keep that bin of beans as cool as we can. Now, this time of year, we can do it to 30 degrees. Even in May and maybe early June, we find nighttime temperatures that'll be down close to 40. And by running those fans and keeping it at that cooler temperature, we greatly enhance the storability of those soybeans.
Excellent. All right. Now, regarding the sunflowers, there's a lot of people who maybe are just pulling sunflowers out of the bin because the processors are looking for, or because of these fine-looking contracts that producers are seeing for sunflowers. There might be some new sunflower growers out there. So what is the critical knowledge when it comes to sunflower storage over the winter?
Well, the same thing holds for sunflowers that is applied to our other grains. They're very similar. It's the moisture contents that are going to change. And when we talk corn and wheat, we're talking roughly 13 to 14% for summer storage. For soybeans, we'd like to be down in that 11 to 12% moisture range. When we go with oil-type sunflower, that really needs to be down to about 8% or maybe even a little bit drier in order to safely store through the summer. The management of the fans and the storage is going to be the same, but the moisture contents that we're dealing with are dependent on the type of grain that we're storing.
Okay, very good. All right, North Dakota State University Extension Grain Drying Specialist Ken Hallevang. Other crops still in the bin, maybe wheat, barley, some of the small grains. What are, again, airflow there I think might be the critical thing.
Right, and we've typically got a lot of experience with air drying our small grains. But I emphasize a couple things. With wheat, we tend to need a little bit warmer temperatures before we start the drying process. So I really think, you know, we're probably looking at an average temperature closer to 50 degrees in order to get the final moisture content that we want. Running the fan typically end of April and into May, in order to finish that drying. With barley, the vast majority of the barley today is malting barley, and we need to be extremely careful with that malting barley in order to maintain the germination. And the critical thing there, again, is moisture content. And, you know, regardless of what the market moisture content might be, in order to safely store barley through the summer and maintain the germination, again, it's better to be down closer to 12% moisture than being a little bit higher, because the time before you start losing germination is very much dependent on both temperature and moisture. And they can do a search for NDSU grain drying and storage, and I have allowable storage time tables there online that people can look at and look at, you know, what that expected storage life is going to be.
All right, we will do that. Hey, Ken, are all the fancy doodads, the precision ag technology that farmers love, as we are incorporating those into the grain bin, cables, the temperature sensors, the moisture sensor, all the things that are in that bin that farmers are relying, are you seeing, are those valuable tools as we move forward?
Well, I'm a strong supporter of the temperature cables, because the temperature tells us a lot of what is taking place in that bin. Are we safely storing? Do we need to run the aeration system? And so temperature cables are very important. The moisture cables, what they're typically doing is measuring the relative humidity of the air, and the accuracy of that is, let's just say, somewhat variable. The temperature cables, I'm a real supporter of. The moisture cables, I think we need to be contemplating the accuracy of them, I guess would okay. be one way to put it.
Yeah.
The other tool that people are starting to use is to measure the carbon dioxide level. Anytime we're producing mold growth or insect activity, that'll tend to show up with an increase in the carbon dioxide level. We don't see that a lot yet in this area, but that's another tool that I think we will be seeing more and more of as we go into the future.
All right, great stuff. Great info for guys out there. North Dakota State University Extension grain drying specialist and ag bioengineer Ken Hellevang. Ken, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay.
Thank you.